Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the many, many blessings you've poured upon us all throughout this day. Now, once again, the awesome opportunity to get back into your word. Help us now as we do that, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word love, we'll turn to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. We covered part of this last time, but to flow correctly, let's go ahead and start with verse 13 of chapter 4, where it reads, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, the asleep he's talking about here are the born-again Christians that have physically passed away or died in that kind of sleep. And the hope is the hope that we have as born-again Christians, which is that confident anticipation and expectation of the fulfillment of the promises and prophecies of God, that true hope. It reads, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," which you have to believe if you are a Christian, because that's part of becoming a Christian, is believing and accepting what Jesus Christ has done. "Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." So those that have passed away prior to the event that he's speaking of here, the Lord is going to bring with him. Reads, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now, you go back and look at the Greek, and this word here that was translated into prevent is also used as precede. He's telling us here in the order of the events unfolding, those that have already passed away, when the Lord returns to rapture us up, he's going to bring with him, and they will have their place in line first of what he's speaking of here. Read 15 again. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The dead in Christ, those that are asleep in Jesus, are what he's speaking of here. They will rise first. In other words, they will have a glorified body given to them first. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." It's very comforting knowing what we have to look forward to for eternity, and that is to receive that glorified body and to be caught up to be with the Lord. And that's where the word rapture comes from. If you go to the Latin Vulgate, you see the word that is transliterated into the word rapture, and that's where we get this term, to be raptured up, is to be caught up, to be gathered up to be with the Lord. And further description of this we have covered in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." That is what he was speaking of there back over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 16, where he says, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together." So we're not going to proceed before them. They're going to rise first. Then we're going to get our chance to rise as well, be caught up, raptured up, and receive that glorified body as it speaks of back over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, he's speaking of corruptible. It means something that can rot and decay, and wither away, or become entangled and tempted and filthy with sin. That will not be possible anymore. And it reads, and this mortal must put on immortality. That means we will have an eternal existence. Reads, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The descriptions of the event that's going to take place that we identify as the rapture. Be caught up to be with the Lord. That shows His love for us, that He is going to give us a glorified body and be able to be with Him for eternity. Because as it said back over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, in the clouds and with the Lord in the air indicates that the Lord is not going to come all the way down and touch the earth. He's going to be in the clouds and gather us up together to be with Him. This is identified as the day of the Lord, but it's misidentified as the second coming. The second coming refers to when the Lord comes down all the way to the planet and establishes the millennial kingdom right at the end of the tribulation time. So when He's coming back this time, which indirectly, I guess, or similarly, you could say the second coming, because He's coming back close by. He's coming into the air and into the clouds and into the atmosphere. But He's not coming all the way down to the earth to establish the millennial kingdom. So this event is going to take place prior to the millennial kingdom return of the Lord at the end of the tribulation time. So all this is given to us in bits and pieces and clues and little bitty glimpses into what we have to look forward to. But it is because He loves us and He cares so much for us that He's going to allow us to be able to receive that glorious body that will be able to last for eternity and be like Him. As it continues right on into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. See, He's identified as the day of the Lord, and this coming as a thief in the night. It's like, because nobody knows exactly when it's going to happen. Therefore, we got to be ready for it at all times. Live like it could happen at any second, but also living like it could be a long time off. We have to make our goal to serve the Lord day by day, but at the same time, not just sit back and cross your arms and say, Lord, I'm ready to go, come on back, and not do anything. We need to prepare as if we're going to be here a while, and also prepare as if we're not going to be here a while. It's kind of confusing, kind of a tug of war, yes. But that's what we got to do in order to be prepared, because we don't know when it's going to happen. Read that again, chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. See, that's speaking of the battle of Gog and Magog and a tribulation time. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. See, this is a letter specifically given to the church at Thessalonica, and they were instructed to share it with other born-again Christians. That message, that statement right there, "ye are the children of light," pertains only to the born-again Christians. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others. The others are the lost. But let us watch and be sober. Now, this being sober is being clear-minded. Pay attention. Wake up. Be alert. Don't pollute your mind with false teachings, distractions, other interests that pull you away from the Lord, or substance abuse. Throw it all in there. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. That hope of salvation, that love, that's where it gets into this series. What we have to look forward to is brought to us by love, given to us by love. We didn't earn it, can't earn it, it's a gift. Therefore, we need to have that kind of love and share that kind of love with others so that they can also accept the free gift that's being handed out. And beckoning them to come in to receive the free gift. And we get ourselves in the right place with our relationship with the Lord, and then help others come to that same place. Read verse 8 again. But let us, born again Christians, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, the obtaining of salvation is by the Lord Jesus Christ, not by our works. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. That comforting and edifying, that's the brethren looking after each other, supposed to come together as a group that love each other, to comfort one another and lift each other up. And then he throws in that, even as also ye do. That was that compliment given to the church at Thessalonica. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. This is talking about recognizing the ministers of the Lord, the preachers, the teachers, the pastors, the evangelists, that are out there doing a work for the Lord. Acknowledge that. Give them a thank you now and then. It says esteem them. It means to honor them, essentially. Not to be disrespectful or cut them down. But to be careful not to lift them up as something to follow and worship as a shepherd. Can't do that. Or someone that you should revere, like the reverend title, which I hate so much. Don't be tangled with that as well. So it's a very careful balance there. To love someone, respect someone, honor someone, be thankful for someone who is doing a work for the Lord that you can benefit from. But don't lift them up too much. Let's read that again, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Those that labor among you. Those that are working for the Lord. And are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. They're doing it for the benefit of others. We should be thankful for that. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. It is so easy for people to automatically blame a pastor or a preacher or evangelist or a missionary for something that's going wrong in their own lives. Their relationship with the Lord or their relationship with someone else starts to go south, starts to go bad, and they look at somebody else to blame, and oh, so many times they like to blame the religious leaders for it. But they need to look in the mirror. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See, it's interesting how he throws that in there right after saying to acknowledge the workers, to esteem those that labor for the Lord, and then throwing in, and then watch out for those that are feeble-minded and weak and need our attention. It reads, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, those that like to stir up trouble, those that like to spread rumors, those that like to criticize, condemn, and complain, but never lift up and edify. Comfort the feeble-minded. The feeble-minded. Way too many of us have been in that position. Support the weak. Help each other. Lift each other up. Be patient toward all men. So easy just to say, well, you ain't worth my time, and just push somebody aside. No, we got to have compassion. We got to have love for even those that are unruly and feeble-minded. Got to lift them up, help them if we can. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Notice that pointing out, not only to the family of God, but to everyone. Don't be rendering evil for evil. We got to share the love that Jesus Christ is pouring upon us. We take that, we open up, we let that come out of us right into everybody around us. And then some instructions here, as it gets into verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Challenging sometimes, yes, to rejoice evermore. A real challenge at times, but we still have to rejoice. Because even in the hardest of times, even going up against the most vile adversary, there are moments in that we learn, that we grow, that we benefit others around us, that we can bring honor and glory to the Lord. Therefore, that's something to rejoice about. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. That is critical. To have a constant communication with the Lord. In verse 18, in everything give thanks. Once again, being thankful. Rejoicing evermore and being thankful all the time. Even in the midst of the hardest persecution and torturous treatment and abuse that you might be suffering. Praise the Lord and be thankful. Challenging sometimes, yes, but He tells us to do it, so that's what we are to do. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We don't always understand why are we going through the challenges that we face, but we got to know that there's a purpose for it. There's a reason for it. Trust in the Lord. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks. Rejoice evermore, as he said. Reads, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Further instructions, verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. The Spirit here, he's talking about the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Quench it not means don't turn it off. Don't reject it. Don't block it. Don't obstruct it. Listen up and submit to the Holy Ghost. Despise not prophesyings. Prophesyings. The prophecies concerning our lives, what we're going to be going through now, and what we're going to be facing later. don't despise them. We've been told over and over in the prophecies that we would be facing persecutions and horrible treatment and even death. So we got to not despise that because there's a purpose for it, a reason for it. And we know there's judgment coming, accountability coming. We don't want to despise that. We've got to recognize there's a reason for that and an importance to that. Because those that have done right will receive reward, benefits. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things, or test. See. Look at it. What's the source? Where does this come from? Is this of the Lord or is it not? Is it a counterfeit? Is it a lie? Is it vain and worthless? Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's a very important one there that we see not being fulfilled very well these days. Abstain from all appearance of evil. When you have these so-called Christians, can't say for sure that they are or not, those that come in and participate in the church a little bit, then next thing you know, they're out there in the bars and out there getting drunk and stoned on all kinds of substances, doing all kinds of ungodly things, lustful desires being fulfilled. That's evil. Or you have those that are actual Christians that have gotten entangled with the world and brought the worldly things into their home or into their church and displaying the evil of the world and trying to do that in order to attract the evil to come in, but all you have is wind up as a bunch of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't look like the evil out there as well. It reads verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. A prayer there from Paul to the church at Thessalonica, going out to all of us believers, that he preserve us blameless. How are we found blameless? By being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. By accepting the finished work of Jesus Christ. By staying on the straight and narrow, keeping it right. By doing these things he just told us about. By rejoicing evermore. By praying without ceasing. By giving thanks for everything. By quenching not the Spirit. And we do that and those other directions, guidelines that we find throughout the Word of God, then we can be found without spot and blameless. And we'll have that peace that passeth all understanding, will come upon us, even in the hardest of times. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. A sign off there from Paul to the church of Thessalonica and to all of us believers. Look at the Word of God, study the Word of God, believe the Word of God, apply the Word of God properly, acknowledge the love that He has given us, shows us day by day, and turn around and share that love with others out there. An opportunity to share the love that the Lord has given us is so awesome. Rolling right into 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto you, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. See, there was some teaching that the rapture had already passed, that already began back then. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is talking about the events of the tribulation time. They thought things were already being initiated and that the son of perdition, which is the Antichrist, was already there or been revealed, but he hasn't been revealed yet. So we know that the rapture hasn't taken place until all of us get caught up and be gone. And then when that happens, that will cause such chaos that the Battle of Gog and Magog will kick in. And at the end of the Battle of Gog and Magog, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will rise up, try to take credit for stopping that war, and sign a treaty with Israel. The seven-day clock begins, and the tribulation starts. That hasn't happened yet. So we don't have to be concerned that we've missed it, as some were all the way back then. And there are many today who say we're already in the midst of the tribulation. But we're not. As it continues, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know that withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The one being taken out of the way is actually talking about the influence of the Holy Ghost upon the entire world because being indwelt in so many believers. And then shall that wicked be revealed. See, once we're all raptured up, that are indwelt with the Holy Ghost, then the Antichrist will have an ability to have more influence on the world because there won't be any Christians to go up against him. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. His coming in the day that he's going to come down at the end of the tribulation time. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The love of the truth. They didn't want the truth. They ignored the truth. They rejected the love of God. Therefore, they are left behind, and they are filled with all deceivableness. They will be indwelt with Satan and believe and follow him because they rejected it right to that point of reprobate that he speaks of in Romans. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. See, it's a limited time offer. The door can be closed just like what we see happening in the great worldwide flood. The door was closed, and no one could open that door and go into the ship once that flood began. And there's a limited time. The Lord will only work with someone so long, and it reaches a point where that door gets closed. This door here he's speaking of is specifically when the rapture of the church occurs. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They rejected the love of truth. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Beloved, that means loved of God. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. That love of God, the love that he shows us, that gives us every single day, that pours upon us. Let's take that love and share it with the others. And let's continue doing that work and hang on, because it could happen at any moment, calling us up to be with him and initiate that tribulation time and so forth. So much ahead of us. Let's be prepared for it. Share every opportunity you can and share that love, which is most important. He gives us so much of it. Let's just turn around and share it with others out there in the world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for that love that you pour upon us each and every day. Help us to realize that, and help us realize the opportunities you give us to share that love with others out there, to keep on working, because we don't know when the door gets closed for individuals, but let us be anxious to get out there, to get busy, to go ahead and do what you have instructed us to do, to spread the gospel to the entire world. Thank you, oh, so much, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.